You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, man, for hour number two, the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. We cover down on all the issues, and like that dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we're going to go to the phones right now. Someone who is no stranger to this show, Stephanie Smith, is now the president of the Alabama Policy Institute, already over there making waves, and we are glad to have her on the show talking about spending in Montgomery. Stephanie Smith, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Talking about spending in Montgomery, I mean, that's an easy thing to talk about. That's an easy subject since it's happening so often and so quickly.
I don't know if you heard any of my show yesterday, but I made the analogy that the level of spending and how quickly they got it done, that money flies through Montgomery like scoot through a goose, is what I said. And I may make that a op-ed for next week. Just the bowels of Montgomery scoot through a goose is what I'm saying.
Yes, that is both disgusting and accurate.
And that was kind of the point, but yeah, okay. Well, listen, let me ask you your thoughts. So before I poison the well too much further, your thoughts on the $1 billion that was spent in the last like five legislative days.
Yeah, so my gut is probably the same as your gut. I didn't get to listen yesterday, but you know, spending over $1 billion, whether or not it's federal money, state money, any money, it's all taxpayer money. And so spending $1 billion in 5 days or less is not really something that, you know, I can get super excited about, regardless of the details. And the reason is because this is our money, or, you know, debatable, our children's money or our grandchildren's money that they're spending. And so it's a little bit frustrating to watch, just to see how quickly and easily it is for, you know, people to spend someone else's money. That's not to say that there aren't good things that they're spending this money on, but just the sheer amount of money being spent, you know, that quickly with very, very little dissent, is at least questionable in my mind. This seemed like, especially with the special session, as quickly as it went in 5 days, and just basically as fast as you can get it through there.
No amendments.
You know, that shows a lot of things politically as well as financially.
I think it definitely does. Now let me ask you. So you used to work in the finance director's office, if I'm not mistaken, for, was it Bob James or Bob Riley? You worked for Bob Riley. All right, Governor Riley?
I was deputy finance director for Bob Riley.
Okay, mm-hmm. So that being said, put on your I work in the governor's office hat.
Sure.
I mean, so I'm hearing, what I'm hearing from actual legislators is that this bill was pretty much, it was written by the finance director, Bill Poole,
yes,
for the governor. It was the governor's mm-hmm. wish list of what it should go to, and it came across the street, mm-hmm. and some reason a deal was made with leadership, House and Senate, to just ram it on through with no changes. Your thoughts, as the executive branch does that, but yet the legislative sure. branch is supposed to have a say-so.
Right. I mean, if I had my, you know, governor's staff hat on, I'd declare victory. yeah. Just because they did what we wanted, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, from a governor's perspective or a governor's staffer perspective, that's a really good week to get the entire legislature to do something almost exactly the way you wanted to in 5 days or less. It's pretty unheard of, just honestly. I think this is, again, this is my gut, is that part of the reason that went through so easily and so quickly is because there's more to come. And so there are supplemental appropriations to be debated about. There are astronomical state budgets to be debated about. And then also, you know, this, you know, they're still trying to spend some of the CARES Act money, still trying to spend ARPA number one money. So there's just so many different pots of money able to be spent that instead of paying attention and really drilling down on any one of them, it seems like the temperament of the legislature is to go ahead and then go to the next one where they might get a little piece of the pie.
Well, and I don't know if you're hearing this or not, but I'm hearing that that there were members of the body that were actually scolded for daring to ask questions. I mean, like freshmen were called in and told, "Get in line, buddy. This is how it's going to be." And it just bugs me.
Yeah, it's not the way the process is supposed to work. You know, the legislative process is supposed to be, I mean, ugly, messy. And it's not because, you know, people dislike each other or they're all jerks down there. It's that it's supposed to be a deliberative process.
Yes.
It very, very rarely should anything pass with two dissenting votes, three dissenting votes.
Yeah.
In committee, much less on the floor. There should be dissent because there should be discussion and there should be negotiation. And when you see something like this, then you know that there was very little negotiation. And so then the next question is, okay, why?
Yeah.
Drilling down on the spending, it's basically more of the same. There's no new information to this, except for I will give credit where credit's due that they repaid a debt. You know, they repaid a $60 million debt that was borrowed 11 years ago. That is good stewardship to repay your debt.
Yep.
So credit where credit is due. That $60 million I would have voted for. The other portion of the $1.6 billion, it's a lot of wastewater, broadband, some funding for COVID-specific or at least tangentially COVID-specific things. But I'm not sure how COVID spending keeps getting spent on broadband and wastewater with a straight face.
Well, and let me ask you, so I don't have a copy of the actual bill that passed. I'm not sure if you've seen it yet. I saw an earlier draft. But my recollection was that the discussion about wastewater, big tranches of money going for sewage is basically for local systems that have not done well or need to expand, and yet that state dollars being spent on local systems, I believe. And then the other piece I was going to ask you about is what you know about the hospital association, not the hospitals, but the hospital association getting some money out of this. Do you know about that?
I did not know that. I knew that the hospital association was asserting that the $100 million that was being given to hospitals was not enough. I saw some information come across, basically admonishing the legislature for not giving them more money. And my response to that from the person that sent it to me was that it sounded like they were, you know, already looking ahead toward that supplemental appropriation to try to get another swipe at that. So the real problem here to me is that there's just not a lot of discernment and there's just a lot of money to be spent. You mentioned when I was deputy finance director for Governor Riley's office, and it's that experience that has made me a little cynical about this experience. But, you know, there was an entire Tea Party movement and an entire year's worth of, pushback on Governor Riley passing tax increases when, the budgets were in abysmal shape. And people still bring that up 20 years later. But nobody that's bringing that up seems to want to say much about the $1 billion that was spent this week or the $2.7 billion that they have, additional in their budgets.
Well, you and I both have somewhat of a depression mentality when it comes to state budgeting, because I came in on that Tea Party wave when you guys in Governor Riley's administration had endured proration. You had endured budgets that just didn't make good sense. Every time the AEA wanted something, the teachers union wanted something, they got it. And so I came in and I was in that class that had to, start off by borrowing money from the trust fund, which they just repaid yesterday. It's good Lord, they've got so much surplus right now in Montgomery. And there've been such a changeover of personnel in the last 4 to 8 years that I don't think most people down there have even got a clue what it's like to have a tough budget.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. I think that you and I are probably a little bit more, maybe even too jaded on the budgetary
that's
issues.
Possible.
And they're not enough jaded. There needs to be a little bit of balance brought back to the situation and make wise decisions whether or not there's too much money or not enough money. My specific frustration is that there seems to be a misunderstanding of whose money it is.
Yeah. I totally agree. Hey, listen, we got about a minute and a half or so before we go, maybe 2 minutes. Before we do that, I want to ask, have you seen the, it's like flying under the radar, in my opinion. Have you seen the thing about the state prison's construction plan doubling in cost? Did you see that?
Yeah, it went up 50%.
Yes.
And you know, inflation's bad, and we joke and talk about the eggs, but, you know, a 50% increase is a lot.
A lot.
You know, at the beginning of this prison, not the beginning, but at the most recent iteration of this prison talk, you know, there were four prisons, and then now it's gone from four prisons to three, and now it's gone, I think, from three to two, and then now possibly even one for $1 billion. So not only has the cost increased, the output has decreased. And so that's part of that equation of that 50% increase. But
the other thing is that
the truth is, I don't think they know how much it's going to cost.
Well, they don't. In fact, they say that in the article I've got here from AL.com. They literally said this was an initial guaranteed maximum price of $623 million. And then later on in there, it says, well, the design is still not 100% complete. That's Bill Poole saying that. And then Bill Poole concluded by saying, we hope to know the final price at some point this summer. I'm like, what kind of way is that to do things?
This doesn't seem to be a very good negotiating tactic, regardless of how you feel about prisons, to just be like, hey, we've got $1 billion. How much is this going to cost? I don't think that's not wise governing, you know, on an individual business basis or governmental basis.
It's like scoot through a goose, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. It goes back to the question of, you know, whose money is this? And are we being frugal? And are we being good stewards? And are our elected officials doing what we would do and actually representing us when they're spending this money?
Well, more to come. And I'm sure knowing you guys at the Policy Institute, you're probably putting the fiscal hawk hat on and watching this stuff. But yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a whole lot more budgeting that probably has some promises built into it, but we'll see. Stephanie Smith, Alabama Policy Institute, tell folks where they can find out more about you if they want to.
You can find us at alabamapolicy.org.
Outstanding. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Phil.
All right, see you. All right. She always has good commentary, and she knows the deal, too, because she was a deputy finance director for the state of Alabama under Governor Riley. And so when she talks about budgeting, she's been one of those who had to develop the budgets and then work within the budgets and then be there in the lean years when the budgets didn't work out and you had to go into proration because Democrats didn't know what they were doing. All right. Boomer, take us to the break, my brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back and probably need to take a bracket pause. Just check and see how we're doing, how we are doing, Boomer. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.